This podcast includes unapologetic logic and reason and may not be suitable for all audiences. In a world full of nonsense, he's been called the voice of uncommon common sense. He sees the abnormal that many find normal. Author and award-winning speaker, he is Chris.
Welcome back to the podcast. I got a big show for you today. Thanks for everybody who reached out asking about my back. All the listeners who reached out, I thank you so much, all three of you, concerned about the health of my back. I'm half joking about that, but I do appreciate the emails, and my back's a lot better. I appreciate the good work of my chiropractor, who's always done really well for me. I've done well with chiropractic care in general. This was a sciatica issue, I guess. And I don't normally have like a sciatica issue like that. It's been a long time since I've been laid up like that, years. If you listen to the podcast, you'll hear me talk sometimes about the pull-ups and all that born out of back issues. I started hanging. Everybody said, oh, you got to get one of those things. You hang upside down. And why do you got to hang upside down? It's so funny to me how people think. I said, well, I just hang right side up. Well, what do you mean? Just grab the bar and hang there. Oh, it's remarkable for your back and your shoulders. You don't need boots. You don't need a machine. You know how big those contraptions are? But anyway, I'm like, you know, level two, level three back pro. You know what I mean? I know all the dirty little tricks. And it, also, if you know me, I won't take any pain medication. It's just not in my wheelhouse. Not that I won't ever, but not for back pain for a number of different reasons. And I'm glad I didn't this time either because it was like 2 weeks of solid pain. And it did taper off. I don't mean to be exaggerating. I don't want to turn this into something that it wasn't. But, you know, the first couple of days on a pain scale of, what do they use, 1 to 5? I mean, that was a solid 5, 5, 5, 2, 3 days. I handled it like a champ. But by the fourth day, it started wearing me down. And going into the second week, the pain was down a lot. You know, it'd be like a level 2. But then if I moved wrong, it would shoot up to a 5. Well, I'd wake you up. And it's just going on 10 days, 11 and 12, and finally. But I'm fine now. It's a little sore still, but I've been doing a lot of stretching. I used some lidocaine patches. I did a lot of hanging, upright hanging. I have a whole series of like yoga twists and stuff. A lot of the stuff you can find online. But here's what I wanted to say to you about all this. I've been dealing with back pain issues a long, long time and gotten better and better at managing it. But it's still there. It's still a problem. Well, one thing I learned from this, and I've been learning a lot about lately with these pain issues, is a lot of times it has to do with weakened muscles in a different area. Mm-hmm. And I think with the sciatic, a lot of it has to do with certain core muscles that aren't strong enough. And I'm not really, you know, particularly my back bothering me. I don't feel like jumping down and doing planks. So I've been doing them on these 14-inch high push-up stands that I got. I think I told you about this. But I've been hitting these planks on these push-up stands 2, 3, 4 times a day even. I keep them right outside the studio here. And I get on there and I'll just do very slow mountain climbers, if you know what those are. Just, you know, you're in a push-up starting position, right? Fully extended. I like to extend my shoulders all the way out, like gymnast style, like the full push-out to really work the rear delts. Now, when I say really work it, you're just putting it under tension. It's creating some strength in that muscle. You know, so I feel like I'm building my core, my shoulders, all of it I feel is strengthened through that move. Well, then I do the mountain climber in the push-up starting position. I just bring my knee up to my elbow. Same side. You could do all kinds of funny things, but I just do that slow and crunch it in, crunch my abs. And it really is a crunch. The difference is I'm not laying on the floor. I don't have that pressure on my back, and you can't leverage it all. So it's straight ab, straight core workout. But anyway, it's been great. If you have back issues, I highly recommend it. So yesterday I had the podcast coming back and there was a lot to cover as there still is because now as behind as I was going into this, I'm really behind now. I've been watching a little news while I was laid up. I think I was mentioning that as well. You know, Fox News, they really made some changes there. It doesn't seem like the same company anymore. I don't know. Where's the conservative news, I guess, is what I'm wondering. And Trump and Biden, I think that the people want something fresh, something new. I think the old guy routine's kind of worn out. And, you know, I'm getting to be an old guy too, so I got to be a little careful with my words here. But I don't think that these two grandpas battling it out is doing it for the country. It's just not attracting the crowds that it once did. And I think that people were hopeful that Trump really would bring some change. I think they were hopeful that Obama, hell, even I was hopeful Obama would bring some change. Maybe he will, I don't know. He's got the wind at his back. Nothing made it worse. I'll tell you this, I think Biden's going to be president again. And you'd think this 4 years is bad. He's not getting any younger. Kamala's emboldened. I heard her. She was out. And this is Fox News playing this garbage. This isn't news to me. Here I am talking about it. And Kamala wanted to talk to people about some people talking about her laugh and her voice. And she explained that she has her mother's laugh. I'm like, oh, God, poor girl. She had to grow up like that? No wonder she's messed up in the head. Can you blame her? Anyway, she sat there and she turned this whole thing in, and you really can't listen to what people say about you. You just have to be. You have to be beyond the be. Oh, my God. My head was throbbing after I heard this. I'm like, if there's not a mental health in this crisis before that little spiel, there is now. I don't know why they don't have me on Fox News. I would do a better job of laying this stuff up, I think. They haven't called yet. All right, here's the big story that I really didn't get too deep into yesterday that I want to talk about right now. The Washington PR wizard is about to spill all the tea. This isn't new, and it's not unknown, and it's getting to be the way news is done. Did I tell you any of this story yesterday? I'm going to go through the details again real quick. Back in 2010, the government of Qatar was trying to sell its they wanted to have the World Cup there, the Soccer World Cup in Qatar. And the United States was set to have it. So they hired this PR guy, and they said, look, we can't have it that, you know, Qatar is basically sabotaging the United States. So the guy's like, no problem. So he basically comes up with this cause that, hey, we shouldn't be funding a World Cup. We don't have proper gym class funding for kids here. And, youth obesity and, right? So he finally got this lobbyist. The lobbyist got 10 grand. So I don't know what the lame duck Democrat representative Carolyn Kilpatrick got paid out of that, if anything, because if she wasn't getting reelected, I don't know, you know, how they're making payments to the representative for this. They have to go to the campaign, really. But there's all kinds of backdoor ways, as I see it, to get this money back to the politician, such as the lobbyist could, you know, pay a consulting fee to the husband or the wife or the child or the second cousin or whoever the hell they can get the money back to the politician, I guess. But the funny thing about this to me, $10,000. Now, I'm going to assume that the lobbyist got at least half. They set up the deal, made the contact. They got to handle the money. They got to launder this money. So how much was the politician getting bought off for? Let's just say it was the full 10 grand. For a lousy $10,000, guess what? The World Cup ended up in Qatar, not here. All from a political sabotage mission. Yeah, it's unbelievable, really. And you wonder, you know, this is the people that are representing this country. But here's what I want to tell you as I see it. Everything today, all of the influence is bought. If you're not coming with a check, the door's not going to be open. And it's sad, really. And I think a lot of people are getting money just taken from them, because I'm not sure that this supposed access that people are getting is really worth it anyway. But to think that, you know, PR firm, how much do they think the PR firm made out of that? I'm going to say Bitcoin. Maybe this is what I need to do. Maybe I need to get into this sleazy side of things. You know, how could I derail these efforts that are going on? Maybe I should think about this a little bit differently. Where's the reporting? That's the real part that I wanted to get to. And there's two points I wanted to make on this. A, that our American politicians are bought off for a pittance. I think, all these millions they claim Biden's getting, how many billions and trillions of destruction has it done to our own country so that he could line his filthy pockets with a few shekels? I'll tell you what, it's a solid argument to just make the salaries higher. Maybe that should be the political requirement. You sign on to this, you're going to make $500,000 a year. And maybe you sweeten the deal, but you could never make another penny, period. Maybe that's what it needs to be to maintain integrity. What would you think of that idea? People would say, wow, nobody would want to get into politics if that's what they would do. Well, maybe that would be better, too. We just didn't have anybody doing it. I really don't know. What's going on here? My screen's giving me a little trouble here. All right, let's close that. That never happened like that before. There we go. I'm telling you, All this AI stuff is messing things up big time. You notice that? My computer just went completely cattywampus there in the middle of recording. It's not supposed to happen. I don't know. It's probably me. That's what they would. Well, it's probably a user. All right? Let's blame the victim in this whole thing, right? Anyway, all this news is fake. It's all being bought. If you can move the World Cup for 10 grand, you know, and like I said, I'm sure Qatar paid more. Maybe they paid this guy 100 grand, maybe a million. I don't know. He probably got paid pretty well for that. I'll deliver to you the world. If I bring the World Cup to you, you pay me $1 million? Sure. All right. That's the deal. Put it in print. What if Qatar didn't pay him? What's he going to do? Probably sue in an American court. No taxpayers can pay for that, too. Anyway, F-16s going to Ukraine. These attack-ems. Nobody ever. It's funny to me how these words pop up, and all of a sudden it's like all over the news. You hear a million people saying it. Are they getting the attack-ems or not? And then some Biden official, just don't have the attack-ems by the end of the week. How much more information do you need that they're picking World War III? A civil war, World War III, whatever it takes. I don't know that to pretend to understand this, but it has become apparent to me that the name of the game here is to create conflict. What would you say? Any other answer to that? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. This blew my mind. Listen to this story. I don't agree with sending these weapons to Ukraine. And then as soon as they announce the money, and nobody really knows how much money Ukraine's getting. I was watching a guy, an article, reading a story. This guy, older guy, retiree, still helping the cause, making missiles for send to the front lines. They interviewed him. They said, well, you know, how do you do this? You know, how do you support yourself? He's like, military pension. So this veteran in Ukraine is still getting his monthly stipend through all this while we pay for it, while veterans here suffer. This is America. All right. So one of the things I've talked about several times over the years is the minimum wage. And I have felt that the politicians failed. Like, either get rid of it, which I really don't agree with. I really don't. I think there needs to be a minimum, and they should probably stick with that. I don't know that you can trust companies to do the right thing and industries and things like that. I think that it's wise to have a minimum wage. I really do. I don't think it should be $15 even now. But I think they should have kept up with increases to it. In fact, the whole, increasing it so quickly probably created more problems than it fixed in itself. So anyway, one of the arguments I've made over the years is nobody goes back and looks at the data from any of these things. Did it actually work? Was it actually productive? Or you'll see some, not very clear, very abstract report that shows that guaranteed basic income is good. Raising the minimum wage to $5 million actually helps the economy, even though everybody left the city. So anyway, here's one from Seattle. Seattle takeout orders have reached a breaking point amid horror stories of $122 Thai delivery and $26 to-go coffees. The Emerald City is now considering rolling back a brand new wage law that's causing food takeout prices to skyrocket and delivery orders to tank. It's just the latest in a series of wage laws that are backfiring this year, causing chaos for customers, restaurants, and the gig workers they were meant to help. Really? In other words, the Democrat politicians in Seattle really screwed up. Where's the Republican Party dancing all over their graves with this? It didn't work. Neither will guaranteed basic income. And we're going to need to get back to some serious capitalistic thinking, I think. I'll tell you one thing, everything that I see going on, I can understand why there's these conservative backlashes. What do I mean by that? Well, our own country's founding. Who came here first? It wasn't the rebel rousers. It was the Puritans, the Quakers, right? They were the first ones to leave. All they wanted to do was to worship freely, to be how they wanted to be. They didn't want to conform to the ways of Europe. And there were people that called them radicals and dirty and all those different things. But they were the first ones to come here to set up a very conservative order. That's what they wanted. Why the hell do you think we still can't buy liquor here on Sundays in Pennsylvania? It's because of the Quakers. They brought this very strict, religious, conservative thinking. It really was. I seriously doubt, I don't know, but I don't think they would have tolerated much in the way of transgender, even homosexuals, at all, let alone mixed races. People felt strongly about interbreeding with other races and whatnot, right? That's and there's people that still do. People that see that as problematic. So, you know, what does all this mean? Well, take a look at what's going on. Take a step back, right? Look at how much damage these great liberal ideas have done that nobody ever wanted to test. So, and I've said this so many times. I was having an argument with my wife, impromptu argument, on there was a comment on Fox News. They said, the commentator said that they think that that these kids in these colleges, I guess these Hamas protesters, are asking for amnesty as part of the settlement deal. They don't want this on their record that they were at these protests. And the Fox News commentator said, "Well, yeah, it's not just the school. Even if the school gives you amnesty, the employers aren't going to be saying you're not going to be employable." And I thought, "Whoa, what kind of free speech is that?" So I'm telling my wife, and she said, "Well, I don't think it's free speech to say that you want to kill people." "Oh, really? Well, what about the people that are actually killing people?" You know, I saw a report that there's 450,000 Russians dead. Well, they blame Putin for that. Oh, how about as far as genocide, the Palestinians are saying it, but the Israelis are doing it. So how am I picking sides in all that? Look, I'm not defending Hamas, and I'm not supporting it at all. Instead of telling them that they can't say what they're saying, I'd be more in favor of just throwing them the hell out of here. And as far as employment is concerned, you know, how do you think they got here? What do you think brought them here? It's the same big mega corporations, global corporations like Google, some of them with Jewish ownership, heavy Jewish. Now they're going, "Oh, what's this? Yeah, what's this? You brought it here. And now you want us to fix it." I don't know. The whole thing makes me crazy. But anyway, my point was, I said to my wife, I said, "You can't say somebody's unemployable for a protest that they were in." And my wife flips out because she thinks I'm being pro-Hamas. She says, "I'm not being pro-Hamas. I'm just saying to you that the laws have to apply." Here's another one for you, just to make this a little less emotional for everybody. In this law that they just passed to provide this funding for Ukraine and Israel, they... what the heck was I going to say? They banned TikTok. What was the other thing that they did? Doggone it. I just drawn a complete blank. I hate when that happens. Oh, that's what it was. They said that they're going to actually take permanently all of the Russian assets in Europe and the United States. There's not a lot here. I guess most of it's in Europe. But they're going to confiscate that money. They're going to take that money. And Russia is saying they're going to do the same. So what is this doing? Well, it just created a situation where the economic freedom of the world just got cut heavily. You just partitioned the whole thing. You literally created two worlds in that move. They are completely and permanently cutting Russia off from any access to the West. And you say, some people say, "Good, good." Man, oh man, oh man. Did people not see what all this does? When you start saying people are unemployable for something that they say, I'm not defending what they said. I'm defending their right to speak, though, as vile as it is. As vile as it is. Yes, the college has every right to throw them out for causing this disruption. I don't know how these colleges got to be such a place for protests. You know, they were saying 4 years ago they didn't have a graduation because of COVID, and now they're not going to have a graduation because of this. And, you know, no wonder, even my daughter, this country stinks. She did. She said that a couple weeks ago, 10 years old. This is how young people are viewing things. And what do you want me to do? You want me to blame her? What do you want me to say? Oh, how could you say that, tree? Does it feel like the greatest country in the world right now? I don't see how it can, man. I don't see how it can when a boy can beat up a girl and get away with it, and to do so, all he has to do is say that he feels like a girl. You know, I'm wondering if I could do the same thing. I don't know. It's all just gotten so crazy. And people, you know, it's like my wife with, "Oh, I should be unemployed." Well, okay, yeah, and go ahead and make a $30 minimum wage and see what happens. No, it's going to be great. Yeah, the San Francisco has been flushed down the toilet. Seattle flushed down the toilet. You know, they, oh, we're gonna, this is gonna be great. People try, they don't, no debate, no debating with Democrats. No debates, no consideration, no thoughtful consideration on anything. It's, we need to have higher wages. Okay, here we go. Then everybody starts going to order, like, what the hell's this? What do you mean? Well, prices, well, of course prices are up. We just jacked the labor cost through the roof. Oh, well, we don't like this. Nobody's going to order takeout. My wife still does. I don't think it drives me kind of crazy, to be honest with you. I don't know. Crazy times we're living in for sure. Our buddy Dan emailed me over the weekend. He's asking me if I was okay. One of the emails I got about my back. And he was bringing up about my public sector job that came to an abrupt end. It's a pretty funny story, really, the whole thing, in many ways. I am considering doing a podcast about the whole thing. It would really be very entertaining. And but I'm still a little on the fence with that. I got to tell you, and here's a, I go back to the Columbia University thing a second. I said to my wife, I said, let me start here. You know, I don't understand how any Jewish person of sound mind would go to Columbia or send their child there. I don't understand it. It's not a friendly place, right? Go somewhere else that is friendly. I can tell you, there's no way in hell I would send my daughter there. Absolutely not. Not in a million years. Why would a Jewish person do that? Then they want to sit there and complain. This is how, what do you, every non-Muslim is treated that way at Columbia. How do you think straight white males feel? And you want to talk about who's unemployable? Yeah, forget about the dirty little Islamists screaming, kill the Jews. There'll be plenty employable, trust me. Google, Microsoft, Amazon, they'll all take them all in. The medical field, the VA, they'll all take them in. But straight white males, dirty Republicans, not so much, not so much. They'll defend their right to free speech. But mine, not so much. I've never chanted death to anybody, but I get treated the same way. Canceled, ignored, labeled a crazy radical. I've learned to embrace it a little bit. I really have. It's good stuff. Doesn't bother me a bit. This tiny little podcast gets under a lot of people's skin, I can tell you that. Hey, this is what the truth has to offer. It's a little prickly at times. I was reading that. I saw Dan Rather did a little interview. He's like 92. He looks great, by the way. There's an example of taking care of yourself. I actually liked Dan Rather. And I don't, you know, I was younger then. I didn't go back to really look if any of it was true. But that's what ended his career. He came out and did a little pinch piece about George Bush saying that he was not in the Air National Guard as he so reported. And if you know anything about the story of George Bush, that's a very egregious claim to make. And Dan Rather lost his job over it. He made a mistake. He admitted the mistake. He said, yeah, he says, I think an important part of journalism was making especially powerful people feel the pain of having information exposed. Nobody's doing that anymore. The industry's dead. He said he loves CBS. He misses it. I wonder what he would say. What's it like today? Do you see any truth being exposed over there today? Not a bit. You can just see the news. That's why nobody's listening. They're like, I'm not going to listen to that crap. And meanwhile, the dirty Democrats are just running the country into the ground. It's been turned over to a gang of thieves. You've literally got a gang of thieves running the place, figuring out how to dole it all up. While we sit here and watch it all happen, nobody wants to do anything about it. Maybe they'll raise the minimum wage a little higher. That'll be what we'll get out of it. All right, what else is going on? This is here in our county. School officials and students urge the state legislature to pass the governor's education funding proposal. Do I know anybody in this photo? Yes, I do. Isn't that something? The state representative standing here is a state representative, Steve Malagari. Used to live right around the corner from the guy. Pretty sure that's him. And basically, they want more money in education. It's absolutely disturbing to me. The lack of facts around this. They're going to jack it. Old people are going to pay. The property taxes are going to go through the roof. My buddy Mike was here from Indiana. I think his property taxes are like $800 a year. Ours are like $9,000. And ours are cheap. Our taxes here are at least 25% less than most of my neighbors because of some of the characteristics of this property I'm not getting into. We got people paying double. Comparable size home as ours, paying $18,000 a year. That's $1,500 a month just in property taxes. People with mortgages aren't that much. But they want to raise the, oh, and it's funding for the children and the programs and equity. Yeah, why isn't anybody asking why it's now costing over $20,000 per year? They're talking about a return of the one-room schoolhouse. I saw somebody doing the math. For you school teachers, listen to me very carefully. Your day is coming. Because with costs that high, it will soon be beneficial that a teacher could get together a small group of students, maybe just 8 or 10, and make a killing. Why don't we look to move to a system like that instead of these giant behemoths of schools that's turned into ganglands, fighting and violence? The same Montgomery County officials, they didn't say a word about the poor 12-year-old girl that got her head busted in by the 13-year-old tranny boy that they've done nothing about. Nothing about protecting her. They just want to spend more teachers' salaries, hire more overhead. Oh, you wait and see. I saw in one town here locally, just recently, a new town manager came in, raised taxes 39%, quit a couple days later within the last 6 months. 39% increase in taxes. You watch and see what Biden does. Man, we need an Argentina-style cut. That's what we need. Let me finish up with this little story. Evangelical Lauren Livingston rips disgusting Trump Bible. And you should see this guy. What kind of pastor is he? Doesn't say. In March, Trump stunned the heavens and the earth and at least two of the Corinthians, he says, with a video announcing the sale of a Trump-endorsed Bible bundled with the founding documents and a lyric sheet for the MAGA anthem he uses to introduce at his rallies, Lee Greenwald's God Bless the USA. Pretty interesting idea. Do a leather-bound book, God Bless the USA. He didn't actually write anything. He puts his name in it, maybe signs it, right? It was a Trump-signed copy. Pretty funny. But people are buying this stuff, right? And now this pastor is going to come out. Moves widely mocked by the media, by liberals, and by President Joe Biden. But the MAGA Bible also didn't sit well with Livingston, who absolutely torched the product in his sermons at the Central Church of North Carolina in Charlotte. In a fire and brimstone rant that went viral on TikTok and Twitter, Livingston called the Trump Bible disgusting and a cheap ploy, among other things, he says. When you don't read and pray, you say, wow, there's a Bible out now that includes the Constitution and Bill of Rights. Isn't that wonderful? No, it's disgusting. It's blasphemous. It's a ploy. Oh, really? You don't think so? Are you kidding me? Some of you are encouraged by that. Let me tell you something. The gospel is not an American gospel. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the guy goes on and on and on. Let me just tell you what my thinking about all this is. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't publish a Bible like that, not likely. But I don't really fault Trump for it. You know, he's come and say, people need to read the Bible more. He's got to make a little money off this thing. Is that a good way to do it? I thought, do the same thing. Other politicians have done the same thing. I'm going to try to at least bring you, I would like your financial support. Would you give me $100? Just give me $100 cash. I'm not going to give you anything back. How about instead I say, hey, how about if I give you a signed copy of my book? Yeah, Chris, the book's not a $100 book. I know, you're going to do it to support me. And when you have a name big enough to do that, that's what people do. What's wrong with that exactly? What's wrong with that? And you tell me, what is so wrong about bundling the founding documents and Lee Greenwood's song? That we shouldn't be proud of our nation, good stewards of our nation. This is part of the problem with the Christian identity of we are under the umbrella of Christ. We're not citizens of this world. And I understand all that, but while we're here, we still have to take care of it. God put us here for a purpose. And I don't think it was to sit and watch the place burn. And all I see for the pastor is he'll get his eyeball time, and lots of people will show up for church, and maybe that'll all be God is good. He'll say, right. God is good, and he was able to pitch his 13 seconds of fame. But look who gave him the fame. Look who gave him the fame. It wasn't Christians. It was the lying liberal media that said, see, even the Christians hate Trump. As goofy as they are. Listen, here's something for the pastor. They'll stab you right in the back the minute you turn around, you fool. All you did was took the bait, okay? Listen, all you need to say is this. To read the Bible is good. That's all the pastor needed to say, but he couldn't get it out. God willing, I'll be back tomorrow. Sure hope to see you there. In the meantime, make it a great day.